lives in Alabama. She lives in an area where drug dealing is very open. She just has nothing but a distant brother. No real relatives or friends. The youngsters in the neighborhood are into drugs very, very heavily. And she collects animals. They're dumped off on her continually. Number one, Audrey, I want you to be completely relaxed about it. Never underestimate the testing God does. You know that old saying of, oh God, what do I do now? He's answered my prayer. Well, you can see. But there's something much more important than whether or not a little old lady comes across the nation. When God asked and responded to this, it meant someone from here. Actually, one who basically bases his religious beliefs, his doctrine beliefs, on someone other than this group. And without a blink, he said, yes, I'll go and I'll get her. And Audrey will have the convalescent retirement home and complex, and the convalescent home, etc. And this was a good test for everybody. This woman has 10 dogs and a cat, a ramshackle falling down trailer, and kids in the neighborhood that continue to beat and cripple the animals. And that's what she is choosing to stay in. Why? Because no one can actually believe that God would respond. But not only did God respond, but so did this group. I'm going to call it a group. This is my family. And without blinking an eye or saying, I can't because I don't have the money, it was, I will go. When do you want me to leave? And I honor you. And you shan't be twisting arms. I appreciate the contact, Audrey, but release it. You see, it also requires ones to consider and put their actions where their mouth has been. Don't push God. Don't even push the river. It flows very well without your help. And receive the blessings of the gift that you were willing to give.
Commander?
Please.
Who do you contact for your desired or ability to assist in these projects? Who do I make contact with or talk over the interests?
Well, depending on what it is you want to give or what you're interested in doing, there's Court, there's Rick, there's Oberly, EJ, George. Anyone is willing to sit with you and see what's available. At the present moment, very little is available, but it's beginning to move rapidly.
Commander, I just want to thank you for your graciousness in having us here and all of the love and just consideration and hospitality that has been shown my family from all of you. We just really appreciate it. I know that as far as miles, we're separated, but we really feel that we are part of this group.
Indeed.
I can't even begin to express the feelings that are within me and to let you know how much we have appreciated.
You are loved, precious.
The journals are beautiful. It seems that Rod and I and the children have been on this pathway, isolated, for a long time. And I can't begin to express what it meant to have those journals and that paper and eventually the tapes come to us. The journals have reinforced and given us added confirmation of the teachings that we had already been given from within. Because that unerring source that we have within each one of us will guide and direct us into all truth. And I can't even begin to express our total awe at the wonder and the magnificence and the love of God for each one of us and how we are taught and how amazing it is when you get these teachings and then bingo, later you see it in black and white in front of you in a book. It is just, it is so beautiful. It really, truly is. I can't begin to thank all of you enough for what you've given to our children, all seven of them, and how your work has strengthened us, has let us know that we're not alone, that we're all in this together. And like I said, even though Rod and the children and I felt very isolated for a number of years and had a lot of trying experiences as our world came down on us, the more we aligned with God. But it has been an incredible experience. It's been a lot like following a dot-to-dot picture where you go from one dot to the next and you're not quite sure what the picture's going to be, but the more you travel, the clearer it becomes. You only know that within your heart there's a burning desire to know God. There's a burning desire to be one with God. And there's a hunger and thirst for truth that there just isn't any church or any organization that can even touch it, that can even quench this. I mean, we know this. We were not inactive. We were not what you call a Jack Mormon. We were committed. We were dedicated, tried and true Blue Mormons. We really, truly were. My husband worked in the St. George Temple as an ordnance worker for 4 years. And I went through the Stake Relief Society, Young Women's Presidency, Primary Presidency. We were active, but yet there was something that was missing in our lives. And the call for truth was there, and the works of an individual who, again, was a scribe for God, Annalise Guerin. Her books and those words came inside of us and completely turned our lives around. And it didn't matter after that what anybody thought. And believe me, we were called plenty. Apostates, heretics, fanatics, and still are.
Oh, yes, yes.
And every kooky thing and crazy thing that you can possibly imagine was concocted. But nevertheless, the vision was there. We knew what our potential was. And no matter what they said about damning our children because we took them out of that LDS church, we did not. We knew that we had a mission to fulfill. And it was beautiful when we listened to the tapes several weeks ago when the commander was talking about the Mormon church in particular, because we lived it and we knew exactly what the commander was saying was right on. Believe me, truth and error do not mix. Once you come into truth, you cannot stay in that orthodox conformity. that all they have to offer is symbolism and the outward show of things. You have such an inner thirst for knowing that it just drives you on. It is absolutely consuming, and you just go from one thing to the next, knowing that all the time you are being guided and you are being led. And no matter what comes up in your life, no matter how negative other people view it, for you, you know it's a positive experience. What you see right now are seven of our children. We also had an eighth, and he was born in 1989, and he was a grossly malformed baby, which we knew from about 4 months of pregnancy on. And again, the option was given for abortion, which I completely declined. I mean, who am I to play God? And working with the doctor that we had and bringing this child forth, the agreement was made that nothing would be done to sustain this child or resuscitate him in any way. I just would not have it that I wanted him to live on his own. And if he was not meant to live, I could accept God's will in that also. But they were not going to make a guinea pig out of that baby. And I want you ones to know that even though everyone viewed that as a very negative experience in our lives, and one said, well, God punished you because you left the church, and that's why you had a child like that, I want you to know that if a child like that had to be born, that I was grateful and eternally grateful to be the mother of a child like that, because that child had more to give me in love and the feeling of that spirit that I held for about the 6 hours that it was born until it passed on in my arms. And even then, after that six-hour period, I could not quite come to grips with letting go. So I laid him in the isolette that was next to me, a warmer, and waited another 2 hours for the nurse to come in and not be able to find the vital signs. And of all things, we felt impressed to get with the doctor and to have that baby released to us to take that body home, which Choli wrapped in the hospital blanket and took home, so that the children could handle him and could dress him and could know why he couldn't live. He was what was known as a trisomy 13, with gross abnormalities, with the spinal bifida, the cleft palate, the gastresis, where the intestines push through into the umbilical cord, with a multicystic kidney, six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot. But he was beautiful. And unknowingly, my children chose clothes that we didn't go out and buy anything new. They went and found clothing that we had had from our other children. And the outfit that they chose to bury him in said the champ. And we really felt that he was. And he's added so much to our lives. So even though you see eight, I mean, you see seven, there was actually eight. And we're just really grateful that these children that we have to raise do not have to go through the darkness. And I mean darkness that we went through. And I do not blame God or anyone else in the least, because we were self-imprisoned. The pit we dug for ourselves. And we fell in it ourselves. And we had to get out of it ourselves. But we had so much help and so much assistance. And with these children that we have now, a lot of times I hear on the tapes, well, you know, what about the children? What's going to happen with the children? I tell you from first-hand experience that even though there was great upheaval in our lives, where we left the church because we were directed from within to do so, We pulled the children out of public school. We left our home, we left our relatives, we left our friends. My husband left his job, and we got out of there. We completely changed our lives. And even though there was this upheaval, there was never, ever any rebellion on the parts of the children. Ever. Not even for a moment. These children have been helped. They have been blessed. They have been assisted in every possible way from forces that are unseen, although sometimes the feeling that is in our home is so wonderful that people are drawn there like a magnet. And it's wonderful to be able to behold this and the things that come out of these children's mouths and how they're eager and they want to go on and they hunger and thirst after this truth even though they are so young. And it's beautiful. And you just get to the point that it just doesn't matter what anybody says. No one's opinion matters. The only thing that really matters is that alignment with God and pleasing God. And all else, there's the fear and everything just leaves you. You have a peace within that no matter what happens, whether it's photon belt or what have you, you prepare all that you can prepare, whether it's food, water, and then whatever else needs to be done. And you make that necessary alignment with God, and then you rest in peace because you know that you're going to make it. You know that you're going to be able to help and to assist all that you possibly can reach out to help and assist. It has been a wonderful, wonderful journey that since we really made the commitment to follow that red road and to turn unto God and to let His will be done in our lives. Soon in October, it'll be 5 years. And every step of the way has been glorious. And every step of the way, our vision increases so that we can see more and more and more. We don't know at this point what our service is, but we know that there's something that's planned for us. We know that there's something planned for each one of these children that are in our care because we realize that they're God's children. And we just have stewardship over them at this time to guide and direct them in truth, and they will do the rest. And I just want to leave our love and our appreciation and our blessings with all of you because you really have done so much and added so much into our lives. Thank you.
That's what it's about. To be able to see the perfection in that which all other ones would say is imperfect. In this particular journey, there will always be the shadows, but we're moving to the light. And yes, each one has its own commitment. And we're honored that you would come and share with us. Because you said it all. And the hearts in this room heard it. And it makes us all humble. And I receive it for my crew on this side because I have some weary travelers and they don't get very much. Believe me, they're honored when someone says it's all right to park in my garage. They're homesick. They're lonely. They've come a long way to be your counterparts. You've served a more difficult journey because you've gone on into that density. And you see, there is no perfection of church. Commander Greitz asked me, "Sir, is there any right religion. And you see, he has participated in so many, and he has been sealed in the temple. The Mormon club, if you will, is based on Freemasonry and the secrecy. Does it mean it was started in evil? I can't comment on what was in the hearts of the ones who began such a movement. Doesn't matter now. The important thing is to come into discernment. And if, in fact, ones could allow, there's such great work that can come out of that club. The youngsters can participate in the future farmers. And there is camaraderie, especially in the smaller towns, through the Relief Society. But anywhere that you have humanity gathering in doctrine, judgmental, under statute to be a member, this is what you end up with. God requires nothing. Absolutely zero. You will require it of self. And that's what I mean about getting right with God, and all the rest will follow. Because the children will then be able to meet their own commitments, and they'll have the strength with which to do it, because the values have been offered, not forced down their throat. It's been offered. That doesn't mean that any parent can get by without discipline, because every child deserves that much. Every child deserves that much from the wisdom of an elder. And because you have respected them, they won't have any trouble respecting you. And that's the highest honor a person can receive. Salut. In Alabama. She lives in an area where drug dealing is very open. She just has nothing but a distant brother, no real relatives or friends. The youngsters in the neighborhood are into drugs very, very heavily, and she collects animals. They're dumped off on her continually. Number one, Audrey, I want you to be completely relaxed about it. Never underestimate the testing God does. You know that old saying of, oh God, what do I do now? He's answered my prayer. Well, you can see. But there's something much more important than whether or not a little old lady comes across the nation. When God asked and responded to this, it meant someone from here. Actually, one who basically bases his religious beliefs, his doctrine beliefs, on someone other than this group. And without a blink, he said, yes, I'll go, and I'll get her. And Audrey will have the convalescent retirement home, and complex and the convalescent home, etc. And this was a good test for everybody. This woman has 10 dogs and a cat, a ramshackle falling down trailer, and kids in the neighborhood that continue to beat and cripple the animals. And that's what she is choosing to stay in. Why? Because no one can actually believe that God would respond. But not only did God respond, but so did this group. I'm going to call it a group. This is my family. And without blinking an eye or saying, I can't because I don't have the money, it was, I will go. When do you want me to leave? And I honor you. And you shan't be twisting arms. I appreciate the contact, Audrey, but release it. You see, it also requires ones to consider and put their actions where their mouth has been. Don't push God. Don't even push the river. It flows very well without your help. And receive the blessings of the gift that you were willing to give.
Commander?
Please.
Who do you contact for your desired or ability to assist in these projects? Who do I make contact with or talk over the interests?
Well, depending on what it is you want to give or what you're interested in doing. There's Court, there's Rick, there's Oberle, EJ, George. Anyone is willing to sit with you and see what's available. At the present moment, very little is available, but it's beginning to move rapidly.
Commander, I just want to thank you for your graciousness in having us here and all of the love and just consideration and hospitality that has been shown my family from all of you. We just really appreciate it. I know that as far as miles, we're separated, but we really feel that we are part of this group.
Indeed.
I can't even begin to express the feelings that are within me and to let you know how much we have appreciated.
You are loved, precious.
The journals are beautiful. It seems that Rod and I and the children have been on this pathway, isolated, for a long time. And I can't begin to express what it meant to have those journals and that paper and eventually the tapes come to us. The journals have reinforced and given us added confirmation of the teachings that we had already been given from within. Because that unerring source that we have within each one of us will guide and direct us into all truth. And I can't even begin to express our total awe at the wonder and the magnificence and the love of God for each one of us and how we are taught and how amazing it is when you get these teachings and then bingo, later you see it in black and white in front of you in a book. It is so beautiful. It really, truly is. I can't begin to thank all of you enough for what you've given to our children, all seven of them, and how your work has strengthened us, has let us know that we're not alone, that we're all in this together. And like I said, even though Rod and the children and I felt very isolated for a number of years and had a lot of trying experiences as our world came down on us, the more we aligned with God. But it has been an incredible experience. It's been a lot like following a dot-to-dot picture, where you go from one dot to the next, and you're not quite sure what the picture's going to be, but the more you travel, the clearer it becomes. You only know that within your heart there's a burning desire to know God. There's a burning desire to be one with God. And there's a hunger and thirst for truth that there just isn't any church or any organization that can even touch it, that can even quench this. I mean, we know this. We were not inactive. We were not what you call a Jack Mormon. We were committed. We were dedicated, tried and true blue Mormons. We really, truly were. My husband worked in the St. George Temple as an ordinance worker for 4 years. And I went through the Stake Relief Society, Young Women's Presidency, Primary Presidency. We were active, but yet there was something that was missing in our lives. And the call for truth was there, and the works of an individual who, again, was a scribe for God, Annalise Guerin. Her books and those words came inside of us and completely turned our lives around. And it didn't matter after that what anybody thought. And believe me, we were called plenty. Apostates, heretics, fanatics, and still are.
Oh, yes, yes.
And every kooky thing and crazy thing that you can possibly imagine was concocted. But nevertheless, the vision was there. We knew what our potential was. And no matter what they said about damning our children because we took them out of that LDS church, we did not. We knew that we had a mission to fulfill. And it was beautiful when we listened to the tapes several weeks ago when the commander was talking about the Mormon church in particular, because we lived it and we knew exactly what the commander was saying was right on. Believe me, truth and error do not mix. Once you come into truth, you cannot stay in that orthodox conformity that all they have to offer is symbolism and the outward show of things. You have such an inner thirst for knowing that it just drives you on. It is absolutely consuming, and you just go from one thing to the next, knowing that all the time you are being guided and you are being led. And no matter what comes up in your life, no matter how negative other people view it, for you, you know it's a positive experience. What you see right now are seven of our children. We also had an eighth, and he was born in 1989, and he was a grossly malformed baby, which we knew from about 4 months of pregnancy on. And again, the option was given for abortion, which I completely declined. I mean, who am I to play God? And working with the doctor that we had and bringing this child forth, the agreement was made that nothing would be done to sustain this child or resuscitate him in any way. I just would not have it that I wanted him to live on his own. And if he was not meant to live, I could accept God's will in that also. But they were not going to make a guinea pig out of that baby. And I want you ones to know that even though everyone viewed that as a very negative experience in our lives, and one said, well, God punished you because you left the church, and that's why you had a child like that, I want you to know that if a child like that had to be born, that I was grateful, and eternally grateful, to be the mother of a child like that. because that child had more to give me in love and the feeling of that spirit that I held for about the 6 hours that it was born until it passed on in my arms. And even then, after that six-hour period, I could not quite come to grips with letting go. So I laid him in the isolette that was next to me, a warmer, and waited another 2 hours for the nurse to come in and not be able to find the vital signs. And of all things, we felt impressed to get with the doctor and to have that baby released to us to take that body home, which Choli wrapped in the hospital blanket and took home so that the children could handle him and could dress him and could know why he couldn't live. He was what was known as a trisomy 13, with gross abnormalities with the spinal bifida, the cleft palate, the gastresis where the intestines push through into the umbilical cord, with a multicystic kidney, 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot. But he was beautiful. And unknowingly, my children chose clothes that we didn't go out and buy anything new. They went and found clothing that we had had from our other children, and the outfit that they chose to bury him in said the champ, and we really felt that he was. And he's added so much to our lives. So even though you see seven, there was actually 8. And we're just really grateful that these children that we have to raise do not have to go through the darkness. And I mean darkness that we went through. And I do not blame God or anyone else in the least, because we were self-imprisoned. The pit we dug for ourselves. And we fell in it ourselves. And we had to get out of it ourselves. But we had so much help and so much assistance. And with these children that we have now, a lot of times I hear on the tapes, well, you know, what about the children? What's going to happen with the children? I tell you from first-hand experience that even though there was great upheaval in our lives, where we left the church because we were directed from within to do so, we pulled the children out of public school, we left our home, we left our relatives, we left our friends, my husband left his job, and we got out of there. We completely changed our lives. And even though this upheaval, there was never, ever any rebellion on the parts of the children. Ever. Not even for a moment. These children have been helped. They have been blessed. They have been assisted in every possible way from forces that are unseen, although sometimes the feeling that is in our home is so wonderful that people are drawn there like a magnet. And it's wonderful to be able to behold this and the things that come out of these children's mouths and how they're eager and they want to go on and they hunger and thirst after this truth even though they are so young. And it's beautiful. And you just get to the point that it just doesn't matter what anybody says. No one's opinion matters. The only thing that really matters is that alignment with God and pleasing God. And all else, there's the fear and everything just leaves you. You have a peace within that no matter what happens, whether it's photon belt or what have you, you prepare all that you can prepare, whether it's food, water, and then whatever else needs to be done. And you make that necessary alignment with God, and then you rest in peace because you know that you're going to make it. You know that you're going to be able to help and to assist all that you possibly can reach out to help and assist. It has been a wonderful, wonderful journey that since we really made the commitment to follow that red road and to turn unto God and to let His will be done in our lives, Soon in October, it'll be 5 years. And every step of the way has been glorious. And every step of the way, our vision increases so that we can see more and more and more. We don't know at this point what our service is, but we know that there's something that's planned for us. We know that there's something planned for each one of these children that are in our care, because we realize that they're God's children. And we just have stewardship over them at this time to guide and direct them in truth, and they will do the rest. And I just want to leave our love and our appreciation and our blessings with all of you, because you really have done so much and added so much into our lives. Thank you.
That's what it's about. To be able to see the perfection in that which all other ones would say is imperfect. In this particular journey, there will always be the shadows, but we're moving to the light. And yes, each one has its own commitment. And we're honored that you would come and share with us, because you said it all. And the hearts in this room heard it. And it makes us all humble. And I receive it for my crew on this side, because I have some weary travelers and they don't get very much. Believe me, they're honored when someone says it's all right to park in my garage. They're homesick. They're lonely. They've come a long way to be your counterparts. You've served a more difficult journey because you've gone on into that density. And you see, there is no perfection of church. Commander Greitz asked me, "Sir, is there any right religion?" And you see, he has participated in so many, and he has been sealed in the temple. The Mormon club, if you will, is based on Freemasonry and the secrecy. Does it mean it was started in evil? I can't comment on what was in the hearts of the ones who began such a movement. Doesn't matter now. The important thing is to come into discernment. And if, in fact, ones could allow, there's such great work that can come out of that club. The youngsters can participate in the Future Farmers. And there is camaraderie, especially in the smaller towns, through the Relief Society. But anywhere that you have humanity gathering in doctrine, judgmental, under statute to be a member, this is what you end up with. God requires nothing. Absolutely zero. You will require it of self. And that's what I mean about getting right with God, and all the rest will follow. Because the children will then be able to meet their own commitments, and they'll have the strength with which to do it, because the values have been offered not forced down their throat. It's been offered. That doesn't mean that any parent can get by without discipline, because every child deserves that much. Every child deserves that much from the wisdom of an elder. And because you have respected them, they won't have any trouble respecting you. And that's the highest honor a person can receive. Salud.